As we offer our lives in service of ministry to this church and this congregation through our offerings of our time and our talent and our treasure, so also we pause in this moment to remember those members and friends who have joined the cloud of witnesses this past year, recognizing that their witness was a cherished part of the lives of our congregation. Just as God knows and calls us by name, we pause this moment to remember them by name. As I read the names of the saints, please give a silent prayer of thanksgiving for the contributions they have made in our lives. George Weir, Jr. Margaret Everett. Lorraine Colbert. Robert Bonner. Rose Teddy. John Malinallo. Howard Lester. Gill. Thomas Bradley. James McManus. Violet Bassett. Francis Barber. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Please pray with me. God of mercy and compassion, no one is safe from death, as the seeds of death are planted in our birth. Even your Son had to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Yet we know that he rose from the dead and is now sharing in your glory. And so we rejoice in fullest trust that each of those named here today are looking upon us in the place you prepared for them before the beginning of time. And so may we also share in your everlasting life and joy and peace until we again see our loved ones. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Grace and peace be to you this morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are indeed glad that you are here this morning and that we have this wonderful opportunity to praise and glorify the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'd like to, of course, welcome all of you here this morning, and especially welcome those who are visiting with us this morning. We welcome Lisa's daughter, Kelly, from New York, Shelley, from New York. We are glad that she is with us here this morning, and we are glad again that all of you are with us here this morning. Just have one announcement to again apprise everyone of, just to remember that on Monday, November the 8th, it will be the reports are due for the annual meeting, and that annual meeting again will be in December 12th. There'll be more information about that, please have all of your annual reports in by November the 8th. Of course, there are other things that will be going on here at Albany Presbyterian Church. Please remember to read your bulletin, as well as go to our webpage, so that you can stay abreast of all the things that are happening here at Albany Presbyterian Church.
Good morning again. The New Testament reading this morning will come from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6a. You can find it on page 1085 in your pew Bibles. Then I saw heaven and earth, a new earth, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away." And he who sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the fountain of water of life without payment." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
That's what I love to see, people who are eager, running to learn, running to come to church, amen. I love what we're told here in the book of Revelation, that wonderful book at the end of our New Testament canon. We're told that death will be no more. That's the glorious promise that we get, that one day death will be swallowed up and death will be no more. I was reading a blog post last week from Ron Seiler, who taught at the Palmer Seminary here in Philadelphia. And he's writing about the beauty of this season, the season of fall. And the blog post really resonated with me because I love the fall. I love everything about the fall. I love the crisper weather. I love the kaleidoscope of colors that it brings. I love seeing the leaves falling gracefully to the ground. I love walking along the Wissahickon and just taking in the beauty of this season. The fall is by far my favorite time of year, until at least the springtime, but I love the fall. But Seiler's post also acknowledged something else about this season. He acknowledged that despite its beauty, that the fall has a shadow side. He knows that the fall is also the season of death and decay. All of those multicolored leaves that we see falling wistfully to the ground are all dying. They're all on their way to death and decay. In a few short weeks, the cold, dark days of winter will be here, and all those beautiful leaves will be gone. They'll be on the ground. They will be dead. Of course, what is true of leaves will one day be true of all living things, including all of us. And Seiler, in his post notes, wonders aloud. He says, "Is this all there is? Is this all there is, the life that one day we live and we die and we decay? Is this all there is?" Of course, he knows the answer to that. He knows the answer is no. He knows that for those of us who are in Christ, that death does not have the last word, that the last word belongs to God. But that is, of course, a question for many of people in the world, many of our contemporaries. They wonder, is this all there is? Is this all there is to life? That we are born, that we live, that we die, and that we are no more. Of course, the Apostle Paul calls the great death the great enemy, the last enemy of all of us. It is the last great enemy that needs to be conquered, that needs to be done away with. The death, of course, is something that, when we do think about it, writes fear and terror in many of our hearts. When we do think about it, of course, we live in a society that often does not think about it, that puts it out of our minds. I picked up an interesting book this week that I'm still in the middle of. It's titled, "The Party is Dead." It's written by a young British journalist, one of those unchurched millennials, who, upon experiencing the grief and death of someone who was close to her, recognized that she had no way of processing death. So she didn't quite know what to do with the grief and the terror of death. Not only the death of people that she loved, but how to process the fact that one day she too would die. And so she traveled to several different countries to see how they process death, among them Japan. She traveled to Japan, to Mexico, Indonesia, to Madagascar, among many other places, and she wanted to see how they processed and experienced grief, how they dealt with the fact that one day we will not be here, that all of us must die. And she discovered that in many of those places that death is often attended to with a great festival, a party, where the dead are often invited to be a part of. They're invited to be a part of the party. Sometimes they are literally a part of the festivities. Sometimes the dead are even dug up and reclothed and are literally a part of the festivities. But she noted that that is one of the ways that people around the world deal with the grief and the terror of death. They make sure that their ancestors are a part of the festivities that they have in honor of the dead, in honor of their dead. The ancient Celts, of course, had their own ways of dealing with grief and the grief and terror of death. For them, this season, the fall season, was a liminal season, a season where the boundary between the worlds of the living and the dead were blurred. They believed that on October 31st, the night before their new year, that the ghost of the dead would come back to walk the earth and to be very much present with them as they started out the new year. And they called the day Solemn. And it is the basis of much of our trick-or-treating traditions today. But of course, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't believe in any of that. We don't believe in ghosts. We don't believe that the dead come back to walk the earth. We don't believe that the dead share in any of our daily activities. But we do believe that those who are in Christ, even though they have departed this world, are still very much alive. They are still very much a part of us. They are alive because they have life in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a part of the great church triumph, the great cloud of witnesses who have fought the good fight and now rest from their labors. They experience no more pain. They experience no more suffering. They experience no more adversity. They experience now only the sheer joy of being at home in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so every fall, the church celebrates All Saints Day. Not just a day to remember those who have gone before us, but a day to remember that death does not have the last word, and the last word belongs to God, the God who has promised us that one day there will be no more death. One day death will be swallowed up. The God who has all of our lives in His hand. The God who has reminded us that in life and in death, we belong to Him. That's the God that we celebrate here on this day, on this Sunday, All Saints Day, Sunday. Of course, when we hear the word saint, we tend to think of those Christians who do superhuman things, miraculous things, powerful things. We think of people like Mother Teresa, or we think of people like St. Francis or Assisi, or maybe we think of somebody that we know, somebody in our family that has been a powerful example to us of who God is. I was listening to a group of people not long ago, and they were talking about their grandmother, this woman who had raised them in the midst of adversity. She raised all of them. She was a strong and powerful woman, and it was clear that she was obviously a saint, that she was still very much alive in all of their lives. And so oftentimes when we think of a think of somebody like that, somebody who is a powerful spiritual person and had a powerful influence in our lives, or perhaps a powerful influence in the world. And yet we are reminded that this morning all of us are saints. We are all saints. And we are saints not because of what we have done, but we are saints because of what Christ has done. We are saints because in His presence, He has made us saints. He has made us holy. He has hallowed us, if you will. We are saints because Christ has made us holy, because He has hallowed us. So on All Saints Day, this day, we recognize that it's everyday people like ourselves, everyday Christians, those Christians who have gone before us, that we lift up and remember. And even though they are no longer here, they have gone to be with the Lord, and they are alive. They have life because they are alive in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this brings me back, of course, to this day, to Halloween. Today is October the 31st. It is October, not only October the 31st, but it is Halloween, or All Hallows Eve, as it is called. And I know that there are some Christians who don't like this day. They don't like Halloween. They don't want anything to do with it. They don't like the notion of children dressing up as ghosts and goblins or what have you. Personally, I have no problem with it. I have no problem with Halloween. In fact, every Halloween I buy candy bars to give out to the trick-or-treaters as they may come by. I never get any trick-or-treaters for some reason. I only got one year, but never get any trick-or-treaters. In fact, I don't even see any likes on in this block, in this community. It's like no one participates in that anymore. I can perhaps understand a little bit of it. But still, I have no problem with Halloween per se. Indeed, I think that every Halloween is a good time for all of us to come face to face with our fears. It's a good time for all of us to acknowledge our fears, a good time for us to acknowledge the monsters that stalk us, that stalk our consciousness. It's a good time for us to come face to face with the things that scare us. The English word for monster, of course, comes from the Latin, which means monstrum, and it means omen or warning. And that's what many of our fears are. They're warnings or omens, things that cause us great unease, great anxiety. I was listening to the radio day before yesterday, and the radio host was asking people to call in about their favorite horror movies, and asking what their favorite horror movies were, or asking what horror movie was it that they couldn't watch because it was just too scary. And people were calling in with their various horror movies. But that's what horror movies are. On one level, they're about ghosts and goblins and zombies and things that go bump in the night. But at a deeper level, they're about our fears. They're about our deep-seated fears. They're about the things that cause us unease. They're about the things that we fear the most. The monsters that stalk us. And of course, there are many today. There are lots of things which cause us to be afraid. Sickness, disease, cancer, financial ruin, pandemics, rampant technology gone awry, political dysfunction, war, all kinds of things which cause us to be afraid. In fact, we're afraid of each other. We're often afraid of each other, afraid of people who look different from us, afraid of people who come across the border, afraid of people who share different faith traditions. We are often afraid. But behind all of our fears, of course, of death, the anxiety and fear that comes from knowing that one day we will not be here, that one day we will not exist. And oftentimes we find ourselves asking the same question that Ron Slider asked, the same question that a young journalist asked, is this all there is? Is this all there is, that we are born and then that we live and we die? Is this all there is?
Yes, we're going to grieve deep inside of our hearts,
that this is the way it should be when every saint dies. This is the way it should be because we know that even though we pass, even though we are no longer alive, that we are indeed alive in Christ. We have our existence in Christ. And so death is never the last word. Death is never something that we should just mourn over and grieve over. The death is a way of acknowledging that we still have our life in God. We still have our life in Christ. Those of you who are on Facebook know that Facebook has this feature where, you know, they share your memories with you or bring back memories, posts and pictures that you might have taken years ago, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. I was looking at some of my memories on Facebook that popped up in the last couple of days. And one of the memories was our retreat at the Camp St. Anne that we took almost every year about this time. In fact, this is the weekend when we usually go to Camp St. Anne, and we get to be there and enjoy the fall colors. It's often a wonderful time. I always look forward to it, love being out there, love taking in the beauty of the fall season and just being with each other and worshiping each other and just having a wonderful time. But when I saw the picture that came up the other day, I was a bit saddened because in that picture was one of our members, one of our former members, April Hatch. And I remember seeing her picture there holding one of the children and her radiant smile or her beautiful smile, and just felt again a deep pain of sadness that she is gone. She is no longer with us. We won't be able to experience her smile. We won't be able to experience her loving presence with us again. But we acknowledge that even though she is not here with us, she is still a part of us. She is still a part of the church universal. She is a part of the church triumphant. Even though she is not with us, she is still alive. She is alive in Christ. She is vouchsafed in the loving embrace of God, and she is there. She is there with all the other saints. She is there with Margaret Everett. She is there with Francis Barber. She is there with all the other saints that we read off. She is there with all the other saints who have come up in this church. She is there. She is alive. She is alive in Christ. She is just as alive as we are today. She is alive. Because she has life in God. God said. That's what we are reminded on this day, this All Saints Day. But we need to remember that the promise of All Saints, the hope of All Saints, is not just that one day we will die and we will be with the Lord, that we will go home to be with the Lord. That is true, but that is not the whole promise. The whole promise, as the book of Revelation told us this morning, is not just that we will one day find our home in God, but that God will one day make God home here. God will one day come here. God will one day dwell in the midst of this world. God will one day come here and be among us. And when that happens, all the things which cause us to be afraid, all the things which strike fear in our hearts, all of those things will be no more. Think about it. All the things that we are afraid of, all of those things will be no more. Cancer will be no more. Pandemic will be no more. Hatred and prejudice will be no more. War and conflict will be no more. All the things which go bump in the night in our hearts, none of those things, none of the monsters will be there, including death itself. That's what we are told. Death will be no more. Death will be no more. All the things that portend death will be no more. There will only be God. And all of us who are in God all of us who find our life in God, those who have departed, and those who are here today, we all are alive in God. Whether we live or whether we are alive, whether we die, we have our life in God. That's the promise of this day. That's the promise of all saints. It's the promise that we carry deep down inside of our hearts. We are a part of one great church, the church triumphant, the church here militant, the church that continues to fight on, the church that continues to bear witness to who God is. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the God who carries all of us in the depths of God's heart. We continue to remember that as we celebrate this glorious season, as we celebrate this day for all of us, for all the saints. Gracious and loving God, we again give you thanks this morning. We give you thanks, Lord, for the gift of life. We give you thanks for your powerful Holy Spirit who blows in the midst of us, who blows in the midst of our hearts, that blows in the midst of our world. We give you thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who faithfully and obediently came so that we might have life and have that life in abundance. We might have that abundant life here, now, right now, and how we live our lives. And we will have that abundant life hereafter, after our lives, on this world, in this world of our world. We will still be your people. We will still enjoy eternal life, abundant life. Life that has you at the center. We ask, Lord, that you continue to help us to be your saints, to be your people, your holy people. We continue to bear witness to you and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all that we do.